We're going to be starting 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And one of the verses that really stuck out to me, in fact, the only one I have underlined in my Bible, is that God has given us, verse 7, a spirit not of timidity, but of power and boldness. And so I thought, by golly, I'm going to be bold this morning and deal with some things that need to be dealt with here. And so I'd like to just... Dale, I want to thank you for playing the keyboard last Sunday, but let me just tell you, you stink at playing the keyboard. You shouldn't be doing that in church, okay? Jeanette, we're glad to have you here, but your dress is way too short. We got to be modest. It should be at least down to here, so you know we got to. And Chuck, how many times? Oh, those shiny shoes, I can't even see them hardly. God says we're to be wearing our best in church. Why do you have jeans on? Oh. You know,
Scott.
Scott. Yeah? Who's there? Who's that?
I am the Lord God Almighty, whom you serve.
Serve? Well, I worship you, and I try to keep you first, and I keep trying to follow your word like I just did. I was doing what you said there in verse 7, God.
I'm glad you're following my word, but perhaps you should read the whole verse.
Well, I thought I did. It says, let me read it, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. That's what I was doing, God, right?
Yes, but you need to finish the verse, Scott.
Finish your verse. The spirit of love and self-discipline?
Were you speaking of love, Scott?
Well... Not really, but they could improve in things. I was trying to help them, so maybe I was kinda.
Are you even listening? I ask you to share the gospel message boldly with others, to tell them how much I love them, how I was willing to send my son to die for them, to pay the price for their sin. I want them to spend eternity with me. You need to tell them these things boldly, but with love and self-discipline, not saying what you want to, but sharing what I want you to tell them.
Well, I guess so, God.
It would be good for you to read the first part of the letter that I had Paul write to Timothy.
Oh, well, maybe we should pray first?
That sounds like a good place to start.
Let's pray. Father, you are watching over us, and you love us very much, and we want to learn from your word, and so... Open it up to us. Open it up to us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, stretch us, challenge us, encourage us is what we ask as we look at 1 Timothy this morning. Amen. Too often in the church, I think, we get things out of whack because we don't look at the whole scripture. And so we can criticize, we can be hypocrites yelling at something, at somebody for doing something that we do. And that's not what God wants us to do. And so we're going to look at the whole chapter this morning and see what God's telling us. So we want to start in verse 3. I think someone has the first couple of verses there. Verses 1 and 2 are basically, hey, this is me, Paul, writing to you, Timothy. It's kind of an introduction. So he starts in verse 3 with giving some valuable information, I think, to Timothy.
I thank God who I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also.
Okay, the book of 2 Timothy is probably, if not the last, one of the last two letters that Paul writes. Paul's in prison when he writes it, so things aren't going real good for Paul. In fact, there's a couple points that he says in this book that people have abandoned him. His friends have abandoned him, so he's in prison. He knows that he's about to die. It says in the... A lot of this comes out in the last chapter of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 6, he's departing. He's talking about his departure from this life is at hand. And in verse 9, he's asking Timothy to come visit him. And he says, do it quickly. You know, often Paul write that, I hope to see you soon. There's none of that in this book anymore, but he's asking Timothy to come see him because his time's short. And then it goes on in 16 where he talks about being banded by his friends. So here, the background of this letter, we have Paul who is about to be martyred, and it seems like Paul could use the encouragement, doesn't it? Shouldn't Timothy be going to visit Paul? And yet here Paul's writing a letter to encourage Timothy because Timothy is a little bit feeling, I guess, maybe overwhelmed, and he's just at a place in life where he needs to be encouraged. And so amidst of all that Paul's going through, he's writing this letter to encourage Timothy. There's two main things he's saying, but in these first couple verses that Deb read, I think there's three things we can get out of it if we dig a little deeper as we look at them. Verse 3, Paul says that he's doing this with a clear conscience. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. Now, this is coming from a man, and I thought, isn't it neat the way the Holy Spirit works when Mary's talking about David this morning, and worship and Judy, the last song, or the last scripture that was read is from Psalms 52, which is David, you know, coming before God because he had sinned with Bathsheba, and he wants to make things right again. And so David really went through a rough time, and he did a lot of things he shouldn't have. And yet, God forgave him. God's forgiveness is complete. So Paul, even though Paul was persecuting Christians in Acts, we read about Stephen being stoned. In the first verse in chapter 8 of the book of Acts is Paul giving approval for Stephen's death. So Paul was encouraging or okay with killing Christians. When he was converted, he was on his way to Damascus to try to round up Christians that he could find to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. And the whole church was being scattered because of the persecution of Paul. And here Paul's writing, he can do this with a clear conscience. David, who did unimaginable sins, had a heart for the Lord and was completely forgiven. And that's good news for every one of us sitting here today, because it doesn't matter what we did in our past or what's in our past, God forgives it. It's all gone. If we ask God to and we give our hearts to the Lord, it's gone. What an encouraging thing for Paul to be sharing. The other thing he talks about in verse 4, he talks about relationships. He's talking about Timothy, who's crying basically or weeping when they're parted, because Timothy loved Paul like a father. And Paul loved Timothy, and he's showing he can't wait to get back to see him again. That's the kind of relationships we as a body need to have. Look around. These are your brothers and your sisters. We need to do things together. We need to build relationships. We need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, lifting one another up, helping one another like Paul is with Timothy here. And then the third thing in verse 5, let's look at verse 5 again. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. What kind of relationship do you have with your kids and your grandkids? What's it important to teach your children, your grandchildren, no great-grandchildren yet? You have great-grandkids? Great grandkids. Yeah, you do. Great great grandkids. None there here. What are we teaching our kids? What's important? You know, do we want them to get a good education, a good job, have all the things that life has to offer, or do we want them to know about Jesus? And so, as parents, grandparents, wherever you're at in life, wherever you became a Christian, it falls on you then and us to share your faith with your family. That's what Paul and Timothy were doing here. Share your faith with your family. Teach them about Jesus. Be a godly mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or great-grandpa, great-grandma. Pray for your kids. You know, that's important. Even when they're not with the Lord, you need to keep doing those things, because I know parents who've done that for years until their kids came to the Lord. So be persistent in that. So there's three things there I think we can get out of those three verses that are important. And Paul's kind of sharing them, and it just tells you a little bit about Paul. His relationship with the Lord, his relationship with Timothy, and I think the relationship he had with all his friends as well. So let's move on to verse 6 to 12. There's two things in these verses now that Paul is asking Timothy to do, but let's listen to these verses.
Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day.
Okay, verse 6 starts by saying, for this reason. So Paul is telling Timothy, because you've given your life to Christ, because you have a sincere faith, because of those things, then you need to do this. And it's interesting what he says in verse 6, as he says, you should fan into flames the gift that God has given you. Fan into flames a gift that God has given to you. Do you all know what gift God's given you? Everybody here that's a Christian, that's given your heart to the Lord, God has given you a gift. Do you know what that is? Sometimes you might think you know what your gift is early in life, and as you get older, you realize that God's given you a different one, or he's given you a couple. But if you don't know your gift, there's a couple ways that you can get a gift. Ask God. You probably have a gift and just don't know what it is. Ask God what it is. Ask him. In Timothy's case, Paul and probably some other elders of the church or leaders of the church laid hands on him and prayed on him. And Timothy's gift would have been apostleship, same as what Paul's was, because Paul was raising him up or grooming him to take his place when he wasn't here. So what's your gift? You need to know what your gift is, first of all. If you know what your gift is, how are you using it? Are you using your gift now? And if you're not, why not? Paul is telling Timothy to fan into flames. That kind of means that he has a gift. He knows what it is, but it's kind of just there, not being used to its fullest potential. But I like the analogy of a campfire. Do you ever like sit around a campfire and then at the end of the night, it's pretty much died down, there's nothing left, and you decide you want one more marshmallow toasted, and what do you have to do? You have to grab a stick and you stir it up. You fan the flames. And soon you have a flame and you can roast that marshmallow. Fanning the flames involves us doing something. Fanning the flames means Timothy had to do something. He knew his gift was there, but it's... So he has to take the first step to use that gift. There's some work involved. So if you're not using your gift, it's up to you to take that step to use it. That means maybe being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, or sharing with somebody, or whatever God's asking you. But we need to take that first step. So then I had to think a little bit about, why is Paul telling Timothy this? Here Timothy's supposed to be a leader of the church. He's not using his gift the way he should. Paul has to be encouraging him to fan the flames, you know, get things going again, Timothy. And so I look back at the book that we just went first, the book of 1 Timothy, and here's some of the things that Timothy had to deal with. false teachers. There were false teachers in the church. Timothy was young. He was not as experienced or as old. Kind of like Dale having to tell Barry or I that we're doing something wrong, you know? Someone that age telling someone older. It wasn't an easy thing to do, but these false teachers were teaching things that weren't true. Things were being inserted into the gospel that weren't really there. And I had to think, like, what are some ways the gospel is distorted today? Well, there's some preachers now that are saying that, you know, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven because God works through Buddha or the Hindu religion, or, you know, there's other ways you can get to heaven. Well, that's not true. That's not in here. That's called a false teaching, or it's distorting the gospel. Marriage isn't between a man and a woman anymore. It could be two men or two women. Well, that's not true. That doesn't say that in here. You know, and all through the New Testament, there's the analogy of Christ and the church as a husband and wife in marriage. That doesn't work. Well, what about evolution? Some people, a lot of Christians believe in evolution, so they can't justify the whole thing, so they believe in a combined thing of creation and evolution. Well, that's not true. That's a false teaching. It's not in here. It talks an awful lot about creation, but I've never seen the word evolution yet, or evolve, or anything like that in Scripture. And so there were teachers like this that Timothy had to deal with. Maybe he had a heavy workload. He was just overwhelmed all the things and responsibilities of the things he had to do. People were leaving the faith, it said. Some of these false teachers were leading people astray. These are some of the things that we dealt with in the book of 1 Timothy. And so can you see why Timothy might have been a little down or a little depressed or felt like he just couldn't do it? He was discouraged. And so Paul needed to encourage him. And the thing that he's telling him to do is basically use the gift that God gave you. If you're discouraged, you don't like the way things are going, you have too much responsibility, use the gift that God gave you. And then we get to, I think, one of the key verses in the chapter. Verse 7. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, maybe boldness. The Greek word is where we get the word dynamite from there. So it's an explosive power, something that can really be used in an effective way because the Holy Spirit's behind it. But it's a gift that God gave you, Timothy, is what Paul's saying. But then that's kind of where we do stop a lot of times, why we did the little skit in the beginning. We tend to be bold in the wrong way sometimes. Jesus is talking about being bold in preaching the gospel. And that's the first message that Paul has in these scriptures. Two things he's telling Timothy. One of them is preach the gospel. And that's what he's getting to here. And do it in love. Do you have a heart for the lost? Do you really love those who don't know Jesus Christ? We have to really have that love to be able to do it effectively. And then we need to also have some self-discipline, maybe some self-control in how we do it. And I think for me, sometimes that is taking what I'm thinking or feeling and like sitting it back here so that I can focus on what Jesus wants me to do. Sometimes I think we do what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. And so that gets a little bit tricky and a little bit difficult. But this is what Paul is asking Timothy to do, and this is what Jesus is asking us to do. I had to think of the different giftings, though. How many of you would like to like go out and knock on doors this morning to tell people about Jesus? Anybody that would feel comfortable doing that? Okay. How many people would be uncomfortable doing that? It's out of your comfort zone. Yeah. One of the things that Judy and I had to do when we went through training to go into Mennonite missions is that we had to go out and do street witnessing in 13th Street in Harrisburg, which is probably one of the roughest neighborhoods. you know, in Harrisburg. And that wasn't an easy thing, but some of that depends on your gifting. Some of you, God wants to do that, and he's gifted you in that way. Others maybe have the gift of serving, so you can minister to people by serving them and still telling them about Jesus, but on a one-on-one thing and in a more friendly atmosphere maybe than just knocking on someone's door, you know, cold. Some of you are just going to minister to people. That means not just serving, but you're actually meeting some of their needs maybe, or there's just different things that we are gifted in. We're not all the same, but God has put us together so that we can work as a body to minister to people. But the key is that we need to be proclaiming the message, the gospel message. That was Paul's whole thing with Timothy. The other thing that's very difficult in this chapter for me is when we get to verse 8. Verse 8, it gets a little difficult, I think. Paul says, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner." But here's where it gets hard. "But join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Does anybody here like this? Anybody like to suffer here? My hand would be down too. I like it when things are much responsible. So when we go on to verse 9, 10, and 11, 12, the reason we suffer in verse 10 is that we can have the light and immortality of Jesus Christ, is what it says. Am I dead again? So, what, I don't know if that works. That probably doesn't work either. See if it works.
Hello.
I'll just use this one. My whole train of thought was interrupted there, so sorry. So suffering isn't a bad thing for Jesus. I've said this before, and you might have heard me say it, but I think I'm way too comfortable in this life. This isn't our home. This isn't where we should be comfortable. This isn't where we should be putting down roots. Because we live in this life, our lifetime that we have, we live for eternity. And so when we start grasping that and understanding that, we're going to want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. because we don't want to see our friends end up in hell. We don't want to see our family end up in hell for all eternity. And so it just changes our whole outlook and how we look at things. And so suffering is okay in the eyes of God. Where would we be if Jesus hadn't suffered for us? You know, we'd be doomed for eternity in hell. And so sometimes suffering is necessary to save people for all eternity. And then in verse 12, I think Paul is basically just proclaiming why he's suffering. He's not ashamed. He knows whom he has believed in, Jesus Christ. And he's convinced that Jesus is able to guard what he has entrusted to him. Paul has entrusted his life to Jesus Christ, and he has full confidence that God will take care of his life for all eternity, not for on this earth. And so I think that's how Paul is such an encourager in the midst of more problems himself than those he's encouraging, because he got it. He knows that this life is temporary on this earth, but it's eternity that we need to live for. So, the message of those verses then is preach the gospel. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. That's what we need to get out of it. The second thing he's telling Timothy then is in verses 13 and 14. And I think Judy has those to read.
What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Okay, now we're getting back, and maybe I got into this already, but we're getting back to guard the gospel message. Keep the gospel message pure. Don't change it. We talked a little bit about how some of the false teachers are doing that today. We need to, Timothy had probably some letters from Paul, maybe from some of the apostles that were passed around. We have the whole New Testament. I think we have it a lot easier than what they did to guard the gospel. And it's amazing how 2,000 years later, this has not changed. Through all the translations and all the things that have happened, I'm using this one now, sorry. When we are ministering to others, if you have to stand up here and share, like I am this morning, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, what you say has to be in alignment with the gospel message, has to be in alignment with New Testament and Old. But we consider ourselves a New Testament church because the New Testament has come to kind of fulfill the Old. It hasn't done away with the Old, but fulfilled it. So we need to stay true to the gospel message. And so the two messages that Paul is giving Timothy is preach the gospel message. Don't be discouraged. Get off your couch or whatever you're doing. Fan into flame your gift and start telling people about Jesus. And then secondly, keep the gospel message pure. So those are two things I think we can learn from this chapter, just as Timothy did from Paul. So in concluding, the last couple of verses, verse 15 is where Paul's saying that everybody in the province of Asia has deserted me. So Paul's feeling kind of left alone to struggle by himself, but he has Jesus Christ with him, and he has a couple faithful people with him. But pretty much everybody has deserted him here at the end of his life. And the other thing he says and more encouraging, he mentions the household, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Onesiphorus. But this man's household, this was a man who came to the room, took the time to look and made the effort to find where Paul was being held as prisoner and ministered to him and was there. And I think, I don't know this for factual, scripture doesn't really tell us, but I kind of have the feeling that Paul's mentioning this man because it might be a man that can encourage Timothy when Paul isn't there anymore. I mean, Paul's always looking out for the gospel message, and he knew that Timothy was key in keeping that going. And so I think he might have mentioned this man just so Paul knows that someday he has a man there that's going to help him as well. And then in verse 18, he's talking about this man again. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. On that day. He also mentions in verse 12, guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. And the Greek word there is hamera, or hamera, and it means when Jesus comes again, the end times, the last day. And so when Paul references that twice in this chapter, he's thinking about when Jesus is going to come again. And for Paul, that was very close. For us, we don't know when that day is, but Paul was, we think, beheaded by Nero, and this would have been written in the last days of Nero's reign. And so it wasn't long after this letter that Paul would have been martyred for his faith. So let's not be discouraged by all the things you might face in life. Let's not think that maybe you're the only one there trying to encourage people or tell them about Jesus. Let's use the gifts that God has given you. He gave them for a purpose, and that purpose was to further his kingdom. And so we need to use them. And let's be bold in the way we use that and tell people about Jesus. Not be timid or fearful, but have the courage to share when the Holy Spirit prompts you. Let's close by singing Sanctuary. I think most of you know that. If you don't, you'll learn it. Let's sing it through two times, I think. Father, you do live within each of us here that profess you as Lord and Savior. And so we want to be a place where you're comfortable dwelling. We want you to live within us, to empower us, to use us, to minister to us, to help us, to teach us, to motivate us. We want to live our lives for you. We want to do what you want, not what we want. We want to tell others about you because we love them and don't want to see them spend an eternity apart from you. And we look forward to the time when we can just be with you forever and ever. But until that day comes, Father, You have work for us to do. And so we ask this week, Father, that you would use us however you see fit, and that we would be obedient to your calling. This is what we ask in your name. Amen.